Welcome to another episode of The Slow Good Life. Your host here, James Davis, with Craig Marshall.
Wonderful to be on another podcast with you, James.
Yeah, it's great to have you, man. And our guest in the studio today is somebody that may be familiar to a lot of our listeners.
Maybe. A lot of love on the Central Coast for this man.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Mitch Massey. Mitch, welcome to Slow Talk.
Man, I wish I would have known that the dress for today were black shirts. I have one. I just didn't know I should wear it, but you guys look great. Thank you.
Well, we're operating in the theater of the mind, and so, folks, you have to pretend that Mitch has a black shirt on, but no.
Just pretend Mitch is here.
gosh. Well, Craig, you're the one that set this interview up, man.
Yeah,
you go
I saw
back.
Mitch at one of my sales jobs, and it was wonderful to see him. I wouldn't say grew up because, you know, I mean, that what you started at KSBY.
82.
82. I was in high school still. And
me too.
You are too. Yeah, you were too. Yeah. But, you know, what a positive presence he was on KSBY. That was kind of like the heyday of KSBY with Rick Martel, yourself.
It was the only station people got. Yeah. It's very, you know, you had to watch it.
But you did a lot of things. I mean, a lot of positivity that was exuded off of Channel 6 from you. And we got our sports from you. So that was a fantastic thing.
That's kind of you to say. I think we all go through these periods of great innocence for communities. And the 80s and 90s for the vehicle of television was a fabulous time. I mean, just from what people got received their news, and they looked at local stations, major stations, and then the ad dollars that went with it. It was a wonderful journey, and especially TV's heyday. It was really the 80s, 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk some more about KSBY, but journalism in general. How did you, you know, what piqued your interest to get into journalism when you were young, and what was the other evolution there?
As my parents would tell me the story, we grew up in a USC football family. Season tickets now like 88 straight years before there's a Coliseum that my grandfather started in 1920. Wow. That's kind of where it started. And so there was a button that was given to me when I was a little kid that said, God is a Trojan. So whatever your faith direction is, I mean, that's how I grew up. And then it's like, when they don't win, are we not praying enough kind of thing? But all kidding aside, as a little kid, I heard Tom Kelly, who is the play-by-play announcer for USC football, and my dad says about 8 or 9 years old, and I'm listening on the radio, and I said, that'd be fascinating to talk out of that box. And so being a sports person, I always thought this is what I want to do. And then when you also get to listen to the greatest broadcaster of all time, Vin Scully, it gets to that fascination of what you just alluded to when we started the show, is that people can imagine. They don't know what you look like. They hear a voice, and then you get to kind of dream, and you get to take along for the journey. So it's the storytelling. And then so I went to USC, and I always said, oh, it's going to be print, all right. And then you kind of get into the radio part. Oh, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And then you get exposed to the TV classes, and it's like, wow. And when you really get down to it, you're talking to a piece of glass. But it's whether you're trying to impress one person or a million people, it's the same approach. And so I just grew up with it. And then the internship at KNBC with a fellow by the name of Brian Gumbel is what really got my fascination to it. And that helped lead the way to my first TV job at age 21. So, yes, I was in a profession that I was a guy that wore makeup to work. So go with that.
And the first TV job was down in Los Angeles?
Palm Springs. Oh, Palm Springs. Okay. Because you have to go to the minor leagues. And so single-A baseball would be like Palm Springs. So 2 years there, and the fellow who I replaced there, his name was Dave Silver. Mm. Dave Silver then came to KSBY for 2 years, and then when he took a job in Tucson, Arizona, he called me and said, hey, I'm leaving. Maybe this is a job you'd be interested in. And so I followed him there, too. I didn't go to Tucson, Arizona. He was an icon as a sportscaster there for 29 years. Wow. But that's the association. So that's that part of how I got there.
Okay. And you were at KSBY for how long?
Just shy of 14 years.
14 years. That's a hell of a run.
That's quite a number of years in the broadcast.
Well, that's a lot of people that kind of grow up with you. And to the point you said, it's because it's where people got their information. And then to be able to go and Friday night football, high school sports and all that. For these communities, the uniqueness that makes this such an intimate area to live, the Central Coast, is their high schools have identifications to their cities. So you learn quickly that Paso Robles, Templeton, and Atascadero, you don't mix them all together. There's a great sense of pride. And that's the same way when you go to Rio Grande, San Luis Obispo, Coast Union, Napomo, Santa Rosa. You just, every city has it's our football team, it's our community, and great pride.
Yes, most definitely, most definitely. Hey, I want to know what were some of the, you know, prime examples or what that you can remember that were some of the great sports stories that you covered on the Central Coast during those 14 years?
Well, one of them, and I'll just go back, that I fondly remember is because one would be when Napoleon Kaufman played at Lompoc. He was the finest high school athlete I've ever seen. And it was very magical at that time. So you look at that from, you know, 90 to 94 kind of in that period. And Rio Grande and Lompoc would have these legendary competitive games. And then they played for a CIF championship at Cal Poly, and it was magical. Now you move forward, and so my last year, I think it was 92 or 94, when Paso and Atascadero played for the league championship, and 4 weeks later, they played for the CIF championship. And when you catch what the communities are all about, it was almost very surreal. And so you get to participate in all of that emotionally, and you have these two traditional rivals, doesn't matter what their records are, that they play for a league championship, and I believe Paso won, and then the CIF championship, Atascadero won at Paso.
Wow.
It's just those kind of, they're games, but this was an event. And those are the things that kind of come forward from a team standpoint.
And it brings out a lot in the communities, the respective communities. It's community pride.
Yeah.
It's let's get everybody together. You've got the generations, you've got the stories, and you've got the young kids that haven't even attended the school yet living all this.
No, and that's what that's what they dream and idolize about. I want to be there one day. So every varsity football team or sport it's those individual student athletes' time in which to shine. And their senior year, because it's, you know, what do we remember? Our senior year. And so you get to be part of whether be the band or an athletic, whatever you participate in. But it's your time when you're a senior. It's your time. And I remember with that football game, I had someone give me a Letterman's jacket, which I kept for years. And then I donated back. And someone bought it for a couple $1,000. Half of it was Atascadero. And the other half was Paso Robles sewed together. Because... if you just want to know what survival skills are, you don't go root for one team or the other. So I had a Letterman's jacket, which I wore during my sports cast, cool. Which was both teams. It's just safer that way.
Yes. And you've talked about team. Well, you know, the team that you had at KSBY at the time was quite phenomenal. I mean, you know, now when I tune into KSBY, no disrespect to anybody who's on the air there, but the turnover ratio at the station is tremendous. I mean, yeah, it's a stepping stone still, but half the time when I tune in, I don't know these people's names.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, no disrespect to them, but you had Rick Martell then.
Lynn Deal.
Jeanette Trumpeter.
Sharon Graves did the weather.
Yes.
So the four of us, the main guys.
Tony Coppola.
Yeah. Who came, which is still a longtime friend. So when Tony and I get together, it's like, hey, we're just kids forever. So he's the biggest Cubs fan I will ever know. So that's what's cool. And but the four of us, so Lynn, myself, and Sharon and Rick, we were together for 9 years. Remember the Dodger infield that stayed together for 9 years? That is the exception to how the game is played or what the industry is. So, but that goes to the magical time of what it was, and you got to be the most trusted name or names on the Central Coast, which, you know, Walter Cronkite was the most trusted man in America. We're the most trusted, and I always teased the late Rick Martell, you're the most trusted man on the Central Coast. Yeah. You know, you can say whatever you want about his hair. My hair is now the same color, but it was all about the hair, man, and he knew it. But that was his brand and his voice, and yeah, it was just a very enjoyable, innocent time.
Did he bust out in song a lot in the studio, too?
Oh, it's we would tease. And the first time when I felt indoctrinated to really be a member of the news team on the Central Coast, you've got to go see his lounge act. And once you do, then you know you're home. And it was classic, man, but he just loved it. He was an entertainer at heart, and that was just his hobby, and that's the way that he extended out to live his entertainment world.
Yeah, definitely a Central Coast legend, just yeah. like you. Just like you. Hey, but speaking of, you know, keeping the broadcast talk going, you did go move to another station here locally for a little while before you transitioned, and we've got a lot to talk about. You've done a lot of great things and a lot of great work, but you did, didn't you go to KCOY for a little while?
KCOY, what it is, so the transition was after the time at KSBY, then I went to Spokane, Washington, then I went to Seattle, then I went to the Bay Area, then I was the stringer for ESPN on the West Coast when they used to have things like that. My former wife, we have two boys, Morgan and Michael, are 25 and 22, and they now live in Atascadero. We wanted to raise them back home. My ex-wife went to Cal Poly, and so the Copeland brothers hired me to be their director of marketing and market development. So that's what got us back out of TV, the transition out of TV. And then I met the president of Heritage Oaks Bank, Larry Ward. Well, they're about $50 million in assets at the time. Mitch, you know about marketing. Let's take a flyer on this. We'll teach you all about banking. That lasted 14 years till they're worth over $2 billion. Quite a run. And so in all of that, I did the football show. When I came back, KSBY had me for 4 years host their Friday football show or be part of it. Yeah. And then... then KCOY said, we'd really like to hire you. So KSBY is going in another direction, so they jumped, and that was another 4 years. So that was kind of like 8 years after the fact. So now it's a hobby. My boys are now older, so I would take them on the Friday night football things, so they got a chance to experience. And so those both entities and doing that, it's like, to have it as a hobby and your boys to be along was the most enjoyable time.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. You mentioned Heritage Oaks Bank, and you had a nice run there as the senior VP of marketing, too. You were about there about 14 years as well?
Yeah, 14.
Wow.
Yeah, I seem to 14, and I don't know, then I get lost, come 14 again. So now at the Nora Foundation, let's just say I'll be here for 14 years.
Mitch, how did it come about? Were you connected with Abe and the community and of course, the Slow Nora organization?
I was connected with Abe through history books, knowing that this is what he really looks like in person. I just didn't see that one coming. No, it's many of my jobs, I have created the positions, and I think 9 out of 10 times I have created the positions where I've been. If we get outside of TV, the position hasn't been there, but you say, here's what value I can bring to your organization. And a lot of that is build our brand. How do you get people attracted to our economic vitality and with that social vitality? And so I knew, because I wanted to be closer to my boys after over 4 years away in Newport Beach, and they had been here with their mother, and I wanted to get closer to them. You know, head of household jobs, as we know on the Central Coast, you have to manufacture an awful lot. So Abe, I knew about the Solonor Foundation from 9 years ago, working in its infancy of helping to put together some marketing ideas. So I knew Dr. Noristani from that. And so Abe Lincoln connected on LinkedIn, and I just said, well, it's a good name. It's a great organization from its mission. Abe, Mitch Massey, and he, like we've talked about, he grew up in the Cal Poly dorms watching me do sports. So you just try to pull in wherever you can.
I think that's great, though, because it fits... it fits your passion for the community. And for our listeners that are on their phones right now checking this out, S-L-O-N-O-O-R, foundation.org is the organization. They run clinics throughout the Central Coast. I believe they're moving into the Santa Maria Valley.
Yeah, we're getting close. We're
medical,
getting close.
Medical, dental, and vision
care. Yeah, all free. Free health care for the uninsured. And between the two counties, there's upwards about 43,000 and growing uninsured. And so I can get into more details about that as we progress through this. But I met Abe, and it was just starting LinkedIn. Okay, here's an idea. And he's a very good proactive communicator. Hey, I remember watching this and that. And I said, you know, I'm looking for an opportunity to come back to Central Coast. And he said, you know, it's from running two big nonprofits in Orange County, which were big homeless shelters. It was just, I don't think we can afford you, but we all get that. And the thing is, where does our heart want to lead us? And I said, I'd like to talk to you about possible opportunities. He said, we're probably 2 or 3 years away. And I said, well, maybe we could talk because here's mm-hmm. how I could see things and help you, mm-hmm. which led to coming up here 3 days later, which then 2 days after that, they created the position and says, we want you. And it has been one of these surreal things. Abe is a big sports fan like I am, and his temperament and what the organization is, I feel gratitude every blasted day. And if I didn't go through all these steps, I don't see the two of you. So see what I did just to see you guys.
Yes, exactly. We wanted Abe to be here today to represent the Giants because we understand you're a Dodgers fan.
Oh yeah.
Just for the record.
And they're playing great. They lost yesterday, but
yeah. Well, if you're Giants fans, that explains why you're wearing black and I'm very colorful.
This is great.
Laker fan too.
It's all
right?
True. Okay, it's all true. That's the TMZ of sports. So I will, if you can all play Laker therapist for me, we can talk about the Lakers.
Gosh.
Drama.
Gosh. Too much drama.
Way too much.
Way
yes.
Too much.
Way too much. Just knowing what I know about Abe Lincoln, he did a previous More Than Believe podcast with the Slow Nor Foundation and Clinics represented. The guests were amazing, including Dr. Noristani, and those are, of course, on the website if folks want to check them out.
Yeah.
So I could really see, based on what I know of your background, Mitch, working so well, the visionary Dr. Noristani, and then, of course, Abe, with his passion for this in this community, and then you coming along with these contacts. What a good balance of people, just from that aspect.
Well, it's like building any team. I mean, you can have a lot of very talented people, but what's going to work for your locker room, and that is that where you find that chemistry. And, you know, there has to be give and take, but when the day is said and done, as Abe eloquates so well, is when the day is said and done, look at our mission and the people that we are asked to serve and make their life better. And we all just have to get out of the way. Our role is to be messengers for those who inspire to be something more. And because of circumstances in life, and if someone wants to ever give an opinion or judge someone, I always say candidly, well, go walk on water. If you can do that, I'll get behind you. It's just to embrace who we all are and look at people's hearts first. And when you can do that, hey, our job is to support each other and then celebrate each other.
Yeah, the giving spirit that you have, was that developed as a child? Were your parents always givers as well?
My father raised us, and my mom and father, and they were together for 70 years, it's always family first. My father was always involved with different causes. He was a builder, developer, construction work. And when people would ask him, he would just be like that 2 o'clock in the morning friend. You call, what do you need? You call, what do you need? Wow. And he would just put the shoulder of responsibility onto him and never ask anything in return. So that's where some of the intrinsic value comes from. Plus, my mother always participated in social clubs, meaning, you know, how do we help with education? How do we help with the spirit of community? So there's always that philanthropy of spirit of giving, not so much financially, but just of volunteerism. And that's probably where it comes. But at the same point, we either have it in us or we don't. And my oldest sister has intellectual disabilities. So Special Olympics has always been part of my DNA. And so that's why when I was in Orange County being on the leadership council and the board for Special Olympics of Southern California, and when you go to Special Olympic events, you just have to smile. There's something that just connects with you that's almost an out-of-body experience that you just say, this is just part of who I am. It just is unconditional. And so that's probably where a big part of it is. How do we treat everyone in life, the way they want to be treated, which I call the platinum rule, the golden rule in all respect is treat people the way you want to be treated. Let's take that up a notch and say treat people the way they want to be treated. So
you have to
understand. You have to take the moment to listen to understand, not listen to respond, but listen to understand. And I get that from my parents. We all have transferable skills. Who knows what they start looking like? But it's kind of like if you take all former TV people, what do they turn into? Well, some form of communication, because it gets down to people by people. And so when they trust who you are, and we have our own personal brands, then whatever you're bringing along, then there's going to be a trust value. So as long as we don't compromise our trust and integrity, people want to be part of our character.
I think that brings us right into the current role. Now, the exact title, I want to get this right.
Major Gifts Officer. I raise money.
Okay.
And you've been there since, what, March?
I've been there. Close to 90 days. I've almost made it through the really probationary period.
What I like to call part of the safety net of the community. And the Slo Nor Foundation and clinics are truly that. And, you know, we really respect and appreciate that work. It is part of the slow, good life that we live, but the life we aspire to. And the life we aspire to is everybody being able to participate, being able to have health and access to health care. And, of course, there was talk that with the Affordable Care Act that that would diminish the need. The need is only growing since
it's
that
only
time.
Growing.
Yeah.
And then when you just look at, okay, what are healthcare costs? And the reality is when the Central Coast has and our those patients that we serve, which is over 7,000 last year, up almost 65% from the year before, is that the diversity. Every walk of life, they can all look like any of us. We can all look. And when you get and you're trying to say, okay, I got my mortgage payment, I have to have food. Okay, I'll gamble on my health care. I can't pay that. And so we are an option or a choice. And then you just educate people. And when people just ask, well, what is it that I have to pay or what is it I have to do? And the honest to goodness, it's the trust system. If you call up one of our clinics and you just ask, I would like to be seen. And the question is, do you have health insurance? And if they say no, we'll set an appointment. And our job is to extend out to anyone who extends themselves to us. And that is the number one goal. And there is, again, no one should judge. There's no judgment. We just have to say we're going to create an opportunity for you because your mental and physical health well-being then makes the social vitality of our community even stronger.
I guess beyond what you guys do, the causes for this always hit me. And you have a time where the profits of corporations are exceeding anything in history. And then you have a time where the average worker does not have coverage.
Yeah.
And whatever coverage they have, they're paying so much more.
And then the deductibles that have to go with them and say, well, you know, this will kick in once you get to $5,000 or this and that. So, again, when we work with, let's say, a small business owner and they say, okay, I have to pay X costs for my medical insurance, and you have these well-intentioned staff folks, okay, part-time, okay, where are they going to at least get preventative care? Well, we go and educate them. Here's an option for you. So not only does that take, let's say, economic stress away, here's preventative care. And then to the vision, which is all free, and to the dental, and our dental clinic is really taking great strides. And you just say, dental care, what does that cost? And a lot of people may have nice insurance plans, but they don't have the vision and dental. So you just say, where can we participate to give an option and let people experience it? And when you go and you experience the clinics, it's as nice as any doctor's office. And then we have about 70 doctors. This is what makes it work. About 70 doctors within the county that give of their time.
That's wonderful.
They give of
their
time.
They volunteer their
services. They volunteer.
Yeah.
They volunteer. This doesn't work without the doctors and nurses volunteer. That's why
it works. So 70 of them, huh? 70.
Yeah,
that's
about 70.
Amount. Yeah.
And so we are the only foundation clinics of its kind in this country that has this model. Now, a lot of models will have two or four doctors. We actually have about 70. And it just warms your heart. And so doctors get back, and nurses and those who participate get back to their initial calling of bedside manner, so to speak. So they see someone and they're, I got to get through 10 people. No, you actually get to spend more one-on-one time, and then it just opens up a network of care for all of those that come see us.
This is so valuable. And our guest, of course, is Mitch Massey. And Mitch is the major gift
officer
with the Slo Nor Foundation, Slo Nor Clinics. We did Festival After Dark, help participate with Ecologistics, and we put on a concert at the Fremont Theater about 3 or 4 years ago for Slo Nor clinics, and it was incredibly fun. We partnered with New Times and different musicians and had Patrick Contreras come in, and Abe and I have talked about maybe doing something again in the future, but I learned at that time that for every dollar, I think, given, donated, there's a hundredfold magnified value of care, which is unheard of. The model is a very powerful model to people that are looking in the community going, where would my resources be best used? And a lot of people change that year by year, or we may be, this podcast may go to people visiting this area, just moved to this area, and we want to remind them that the Slow Nor Foundation provides health care, dental, vision, medical for the uninsured in this county.
Yeah. Would you like to be a spokesperson? You're doing a fabulous job. I'll just sit here and agree with everything you're saying. Perfect. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway.
Thank you. You're very kind. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You know, I was looking at your LinkedIn page, Mitch, and Mitch Massey on LinkedIn, and you wrote something recently about the difference between reflection and introspection. And that's fascinating. And then you talked about five questions that are really, really insightful.
Help guide your journey.
It says something, you know, it just says something about what makes you tick. And so the guy that's out looking for resources in the community has a lot of depth. I mean, you can talk and speak, but this says
a lot.
You won't
talk about my dating life now, will you? I'm kidding. Okay. My whole life is a Seinfeld episode. If you want to get really understand who I am, okay, if you know George Costanza, that's me. Cool.
Well, these questions, five non-negotiable values in life. This is important. What are the things you're willing to go to the wall for?
Yeah.
Number two. What would I do if I were guaranteed success? How would I respond to that? Number three, or what would I do? What would I choose? Number three, and this is, we're not enough time for this episode to go through all this, but this is food for thought for our listeners. What are the experiences I would like to have? That's very choice-oriented. Yeah. What do I want to do? That kind of takes the bucket list and expands it a bit, right? What are the experiences, not just events or places? What's on my schedule that doesn't need to be there? There's a good question, Craig. Yeah. What things can be abandoned or at least cut back? What obligations am I creating for 6 months from now that I'll regret them? It's important to do this when you're 60 or 61, too. What am I doing that I don't enjoy
doing?
Were
you insinuating you're the 61-year-old, I'm the 60? Is that what? Because you're far better looking.
I'm insinuating that. I don't know about looks. We'll leave that up to the wife, you know, or girlfriends or whatever.
Because Craig's the best looking of the three of us. I'll say that now.
I'm
the kid.
Well, and Craig is the kid. He's also the marshal of rock. And we will not let him escape that.
Thank you.
But in moving forward on this, what am I doing that I don't enjoy doing? What am I doing that I love to do? What are the things that other people want me to do? And then lastly, what are the things that I want to do? These are very important questions, not just for a 20-year-old, an 80-year-old, anyone in life. Thank you for putting this down.
Yes, it was a great read.
It's nice of you, and I teased you. What is it I wrote? Oh, that, yes. Okay. I mean, when you write a lot of things, but you just don't know what's going to resonate with others. And I said, when we are all to whatever we think we need to have self-reflection and evaluation, whatever we do in life, and especially when you run a business, it's blocking and tackling. If you can't do the basics, which would be what's your culture about, how do you communicate? Those are the two basics of blocking and tackling. When you understand how to inspire your culture, but most importantly, to take the attitude is, I work for them. They don't work for me. I work for them. And then what's your communication style, which comes down to what's the tone and vibe you send to others? How do you embrace? Are you leading by wanting to teach? Because one of the greatest monikers I know is in life is to teach and be taught every single day. And when you're willing to do that and you just want to see what people are about, Craig, when I saw you and I said, all of a sudden, I'm intrigued by people in general, and all of a sudden it leads to a conversation. Yes, I'm in there for a different reason, but it leads to, hey, I remember this and that. We have a conversation. And then when you say, oh, I have this side business, what is that? And then we just even connect some more, and that's how it happens.
Yes.
Take an interest in what other people do. And just be a reflection of that.
You know, that's one of the things I appreciate about Craig and about you, Mitch. It's obvious that's how you're geared and wired. And I appreciate the listeners to The Slow Good Life, because we look for what is the slow good life that we're living and the slow good life we aspire to. And I believe you represent that. You certainly enjoy being here.
Yeah.
You came back by choice. You're here by choice, desire. Thank God some doors open up. But you're also about doing good to make sure that the future of SLO is something to be desired also. That's critically important, not just for the people that come to take a peek, but for the people that live here, that do the jobs, that keep the Central Coast going.
Yeah, and we definitely want to thank you for being such a positive, prominent presence here on the Central Coast. Yeah. You certainly do encompass.
I came in here so depressed. Now I really feel better. I'm kidding. it's as simple. The greatest role that we parents play is being parents to our kids. And so to have both my boys here and to be able to be a lead in to them, at least get them to doors and then let their character be showcased through the integrity that their mother has given and I have given. It's just, yeah, family first. And that's the greatest example we have, because then they will pass it forward to some others. But when you have been able to inspire or at least listen to others, even if they want to disagree with the direction, but you're willing to listen and you embrace that, then people want to feel wanted, and they might not agree with some of the things you say, but at the same point, they're listening. Okay, I get that. I get that. And they want to put you on stage. My mother said to me years ago, is life is a stage. Just be ready and perform to your sincerity, to your instincts. We have to act on our instincts. Mm. If we don't trust our instincts, because 90%+ of the time, your instincts will be right. We can overthink things. And that's the thing for any individual is, if you feel it, as soon as someone says, what about this? And whatever your first thought is, trust it. But we have to have life experiences in which to have that wisdom and courage in which to trust. And that takes time. And that's what I always say to my boys. Whatever you think, I won't tell you. Just go live it.
Mitch, speaking of your boys, yes. What do they do or what are their aspirations?
They were basketball players like their father. So I will say, well, was I one of those overwhelming basketball parents? At the time, I didn't think so. When I look back, I think so. and I apologize to all coaches. Morgan had Tom Mott at St. Joseph. Michael had Terrence Harris at Mission Prep. They were great leaders for them and taught them valuable lessons that they have everyday life, and they learned to compete to a very high level, to very successful programs. And so, but they were about people first. And so Morgan works for Idlers, for Don Idler and Service, and that's a great family environment.
Absolutely.
What a tremendous family story.
Yes.
And he still treats it like a family. So you just don't get that feel too often. And then Michael, so Morgan's 25, Michael's 22, and he is a real estate person for 2 years now with Keller Williams for both Paso and San Luis Obispo.
Excellent.
But that's him, man. He has a lot of his father and mother, and life is a stage to him. But he can, like they say in the movie Wall Street, but can you sell it? He can sell it with sincerity.
We appreciate your passion, your stories, and your involvement in our community. Kudos to you and your family. Thank you so much, Mitch, for being our guest on the Slow Good Life.
I just a reflection. You guys smile. This is an absolute blast. So thank you.
Well, we certainly do appreciate you coming in, Mitch. It's been a treat, man. Been a pleasure.
Yeah. Carving out some time for us and our listeners. We appreciate that, man.
Well, thank you for being here, because it took me a lot of years to find you guys. So I'm glad I did.
All right. And hopefully we'll be closer next time.
We will.
All right. This episode of The Slow Good Life is brought to you by Slow Talk Podcasting, a turnkey recording studio featuring podcast development, production, distribution, and marketing. Check out Slow Talk Podcasting online at slowtalkpodcasting.com or call them at 805-234-5056.